News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Reports over the weekend suggest that current level 5 restrictions could mean that Ireland's hospitality industry may not open until April. And this comes as the Department of Health confirmed another 13 COVID-related deaths in Ireland and a further 2,944 cases of COVID in this country. And Kingston Mills, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity, joins me now. Kingston, I suppose there's a few key things people want to talk about at the moment. One is the cases are remaining stubbornly high. We have come down a little bit, but you would expect, particularly considering that we've changed how we do our testing and we're not testing the asymptomatics, we would have expected that they would have plateaued or fallen by more by now. What do you make of it?
Good morning. We still have 10 times the number of cases that we had in early December, nearly 3,000 a day, which is better than it was. We were up nearly 8,000 a week ago, so it is improving, and it seems like the measures that were put in place are having an effect. But the biggest worry is that we still have a significant number of people in hospital, nearly 2,000, and of these, nearly 200 are in ICU, and there were another 100 admitted yesterday to hospital, another 20 to ICU. So that's the worrying trend. That will probably be, even with the numbers plateauing coming down, these numbers will probably stay high for another couple of weeks because there's a lag period between the number of cases and the number of hospitalizations. As to when we're going to get out of this, that's the big question that everybody wants to know, and I don't necessarily have the answer to this, but I can speculate. Given that the vaccine is now being rolled out for the healthcare workers and the older population, that's the people in nursing home initially, that's great. That will sort of relieve some of the pressure on the healthcare worker system because a huge number of healthcare workers out on either COVID.
6,500. It was 4,000 at the end of last week, and it was 3,000 at the start of last week. So the numbers are exponentially growing on the front line in terms of people who are self-isolating.
Yeah, that's the big concern in the healthcare system, and the huge pressure because not only of the number of patients, but of the number of people in the workforce that are out. Now, with the vaccines being administered to many of the healthcare workers at this stage, we should start to seeing a very positive impact of the vaccine on less cases and less worry for the healthcare workers. So that will relieve some pressure, but that'll take another few weeks to kick in. And then the nursing home residents, once they're vaccinated, that'll sort of reduce the risks in another very vulnerable section. Then we have to move on to the general older population and, you know, the over 75s, the over 80s, and eventually the over 65s. It'll be the end of March, they reckon, based on predictions, that for 700,000 people to be vaccinated. And that won't even take into consideration the 65 to 70-year-olds. I reckon it'll be more like the end of April. And that's making an assumption that the AstraZeneca vaccine is going to be licensed. We don't know that it will be, but it's very likely.
That's interesting in and of itself, Kingston, because we are making the presumption. That's why we're talking about ordering it in advance and having it ready to go. If we're so sure that it's safe, and if we're so sure that we're going to be using it, the question is, why are we waiting until another 2 weeks before we actually start using the vaccine?
So no one can use it in Europe.
Oh no, I know. Although we do use things off license as well, but equally, why the delay? Considering we have quite a lot of data coming out of the UK that seems to make out that it's perfectly reasonable.
You use drugs off license when they're licensed for something else. This has never been licensed in Ireland for any indication, so it wouldn't be. You couldn't use it here until it's licensed by Europe. So we have to just wait until the 29th of January when the EMA will make the decision. And I think it's likely they will, even though there are some question marks about this vaccine, both in terms of its, the EMA had a rolling review and it had asked for additional data, and AstraZeneca provided that data now. And I assume from the rumblings we're hearing from the EMA that they will license it. We also have to remember this vaccine is only 62% effective in the dose that was used, that's been approved in the UK. So it's not at the level of the other two vaccines. So we have to be, we can't make an assumption that someone gets this vaccine that they're going to be 100% protected, because they won't. So I think that's a note of caution that we need to put in there.
Okay. Can I ask you, we've 2 weeks left in the current set of restrictions, just under 2 weeks, Kingston. And I don't think anyone really believes that on the 31st of January they're going to be lifted. So firstly, Do you have any sense of how long they might go beyond that? But also, I would like your view on how much of the population would you suggest needs to be vaccinated before we can look at actually lifting restrictions?
On the restrictions, I really don't know. I mean, there's no doubt that if we did over Christmas, well, the numbers are going to mushroom again. I don't think that's going to happen, in that the Christmas was very special and people just get together much more so than they normally would. And that really, you know, had an incredible negative impact on the spread of the virus. I don't see us being out of the woods at the end of January. When will the vaccine have an impact? As I said already, the impact in terms of the risks to the healthcare workers and the vulnerable people in nursing homes will be alleviated sometime, you know, in the next month, we'll say. And then once the older population is vaccinated, but that'll be the end of March for the over 70s and the end of April, I reckon, for the over 65. So remembering that 90% of all the deaths are in over 65. So this virus is affecting younger people, and there are young people ending up in hospital and there are younger people dying. But the majority of the deaths are in over 65. So once we have the over 65s vaccinated, the risks are considerably reduced, not completely eliminated, but reduced.
And we're hearing that's probably March, April that we have all the population over that kind of age. So does that seem like a reasonable, okay, we're not completely out of the woods, but people can breathe a sigh of relief that the deaths are going to come down considerably, and perhaps we can get back to a move towards normality, if not normality itself?
Yeah, I suppose the only worry is that the new variant coming from the UK has been very transmissible, and the one from South Africa is a bigger worry because it's got additional mutations in it. So it's imperative that we implement properly the travel restrictions that now have been put in place, and with the -3-day test, the test three days or earlier before leaving, before flying, and then 5 days afterwards. If that's implemented and properly followed up on, then I think you can keep out additional cases, because it seems like the South African variant has been sort of, there may have been some cases here, but it's been contained, and we don't want any additional cases of it or the Brazilian or the Nigerian variant, which all of which are problems. Look, so it's imperative that the travel restrictions are implemented properly.
And look, thank you for speaking to us this morning. That is Professor Kingston Mills there, of Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity. And staying with vaccines now, it has been raised in some of the papers that EU states, including Germany, are squeezing out smaller countries in the vaccine supply race. Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP, joins us on the line to discuss this. Billy, you're being quoted in the papers as saying you have concerns with the fairness of how the EU is distributing and rolling out the vaccine across different countries. What's the concern? Is it that Germany is getting the lion's share?
Well, this was an issue that was raised some time ago. So, I mean, it's being reported on something that, you know, I had concerns about earlier in January. The European Union is doing the procurement and purchasing for all EU member states. That was an agreement that was entered into some time ago. So they have procured about 2.3 billion vaccines. Now, not all of them obviously have been approved, in terms of some of the companies haven't been authorised yet. We only have two approved so far. That's the Pfizer-BioNTech and the Moderna one. But now, hopefully, just like your previous speaker was saying, the Oxford-AstraZeneca one may come on
stream. So are you confident that there is no queue jumping going on in terms of different countries within the EU?
Well, that is the issue that you know, we wanted clarity on, and we did invite the Commission before a health committee last week to ensure that there was parity of esteem in terms of access to the vaccines based on proportionality of the populations of the European Union countries. And that was the issue. This story was raised some time ago by Der Spiegel in Germany, where they were saying that, you know, Germany was potentially purchasing more vaccines from Pfizer
outside the centralised purchasing.
Yes, on a unilateral basis, entering into a private contract with the company. And that was an issue of concern. We have to bear in mind that, look, the obstacle to rolling out the vaccines at the moment is not necessarily the logistics of rolling them out, but is actually access to the supply of vaccines at the moment. And, you know, for the next number of months, while we're trying to get the key frontline health professionals vaccinated, the vulnerable groupings vaccinated, anything that could diminish your chance.
Yeah, no, and that is the worry. And that brings me on nicely to the front of the Irish Daily Mail today, which says that two of your colleagues in Fianna Fáil have been interfering in how the vaccine is distributed here. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien and backbench TD Jackie Cahill have blatantly boasted about their impact on securing scarce supplies for people. What do you make of that?
Well, I think interfering is a fairly strong word. I mean, people make representations all the time. You live in a representative democracy, and people do get on to politicians to raise issues of concern. I mean, there's a system in place. It should be robust enough to ensure that it's fair and that everybody that's prioritised in terms of frontline workers, the vulnerable groupings, that they are prioritised over and above everybody else. But TDs will always make representations.
So TDs, it's fair enough that if I go to a TD and say I work in an office, it's open plan, I'm at the bottom of the queue, I'd quite like someone to speak up for me. You think it's reasonable a TD would do that?
Well, I mean, TDs will make representations to a system, but the system should be robust enough to ensure that the priorities are the priorities, and that's always the case, and that should be the case.
Is there not an argument that, Billy, politicians should stay out of this here, that there is a list of prioritised people, it's been drawn up by public health people, and politicians have no business interfering in it?
Yes, but sometimes the system may just have some inaccuracies in it that may need to be addressed. So, I mean, people will get onto politicians, they'll raise the particular issues, and if the system is correct and if it's robust enough, it will defend its integrity. And if there is a mistake in it, or if there are people who've been left aside by accident or whatever, that can be addressed. So I don't think it's fair to say that TDs, are running around getting people queue jumped. But, if there's a legitimate concern, it can be raised through some process, and that's it. The overall thing is that there's integrity in the European process, and equally there's integrity in the Irish process.
Look, thank you for speaking to us this morning. That is Fianna Fáil MEP there, Bill.